This podcast homily is a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. It is prepared for use in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer readings for the season of Easter. Welcome to this podcast homily for Easter Sunday, the Church's Feast of Feasts, the day that changed the world. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget in the left-hand column on the digital library page of the same site. Today we joyously celebrate the mighty resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The great hymnologist Isaac Watts, based upon Psalm 18:24-29, put the words into a hymn for which the recommended tune is Arlington. This is the day the Lord hath made. He calls the hours his own. Let heaven rejoice, let earth be glad, and praise surround the throne. Today he rose and left the dead, and Satan's empire fell. Today the saints his triumph spread, and all his wonders tell. Blessed be the Lord who comes to men with messages of grace, who comes in God his Father's name to save our sinful race. Thanks to the pioneering work of the great mid-19th century Anglican clergyman, hymn writer, and historian John Mason Neal, we know more about how the early church celebrated Easter, especially at Antioch. The now lost 4th century great church built on an island in the river at Antioch was at the time the largest church in Christendom, that is, before the building of the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople. It was where the Christian community descended from the mission founded by St. Paul worshiped, and Antioch was the place where the faithful first called themselves Christians. In one of his books, Neal describes a great platform on which were seated the bishops of both Antioch and Constantinople, the seat of the Byzantine or Eastern Roman Empire, and also the emperor of Byzantium himself. At the stroke of midnight, the altar candles on the platform were lit by the patriarch of Constantinople. And then, in the midnight darkness, one of the altar candles was used to light the candles of those near the front of the platform in the audience. And from there, the light quickly spread across the great field, becoming a glorifying light of thousands upon thousands of tiny candle flames. This tradition of spreading the light quickly spread into the Western Church. In the period after the Protestant Reformation, it was taken up by the Anabaptists in Eastern Europe. In the AIC bookstore publication, Occasional Services for Anglican Worship, available in paperback and Kindle editions from my author page at Amazon.com, you will find the text of an Easter morning service based upon a Syrian Orthodox Church model in which the service begins with the phrase, "Come ye and take the light from the eternal light and glorify Christ who is risen from the dead." In the Eastern tradition carried on in the Western Church through the use of antiphons and gradual verses, Easter services open with a deacon suddenly entering the church and proclaiming in a loud voice, "Christ is risen from the dead," to which the people respond, "Indeed, he has risen from the dead." In my former parish of St. Chrysostom, I always hung the Eastern Orthodox resurrection icon, the harrowing of Hades, on the front of the pulpit throughout Easter season. You can see this icon at the companion blog posting for this Easter Sunday homily at my blog site, which is also linked from the homepage at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The central figure is Jesus Christ. He stands with both feet firmly upon the gates of Hades, with one hand pulling Adam and Eve from the pit. In the pit below him are the keys referred to in Revelation, "I hold the keys to Hades and death." And in the pit, one figure is still bound in shroud and chain in the pit, representing the unrighteous dead who will not be raised on Christ's second coming. At Jesus' right, the left side of the icon, stands in the background John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Testament. A central word in any traditional Easter morning celebration should be ransom, or if you prefer, as St. John called it in his epistle, propitiation. By this selfless act, giving his own life upon the cross for our redemption, Jesus has ransomed us from our guilt for the disobedience of Adam and Eve. His resurrection completes the cycle of God's divine economy, which the Father had in mind but kept from mankind from the beginning. By his propitiatory sacrifice of himself upon the cross, God and man have been reconciled. In the modern church, we tend to forget that there is another aspect of ransom. In the early church understanding, it was clear that the one who is ransomed owes a debt to the one who ransomed him or her. The great Christian hymn writer Charles Wesley captured the thought in his Easter hymn, which incorporates ideas and phrases from the scriptural account of Good Friday and Easter morning, and also the words of Psalm 24. "Who is the King of glory? Who? The Lord that all our foes o'ercame, that sin and death and hell o'erthrew, the Lord of bounteous power possessed, the King of saints and angels too." By his propitiatory death on the cross, Jesus gave mankind not only redemption, but also the gift of everlasting life in the kingdom of God. It was well understood in the early church that this gift also included a condition or obligation, that is, to honor the sacrificial gift by living a Christian life. This means that we cannot shift the burden of our sins back to Adam and Eve or to the evil one. It means we have a choice. It means we have the gift of a free will to do the work of the Lord. The best parallel to the idea of a gift and a condition is found in the Old Testament in the story of Esau and Jacob, the two sons of Isaac. Esau, the oldest, should have inherited the blessing from his father Isaac, but Esau held his father's faith in contempt and, seeing no value in it, sold his birthright to his younger brother Jacob for a bowl of lentils. Esau symbolizes the Jews who rejected Jesus, refusing to accept him as the promised Messiah. On the other hand, the faithful who accept Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of the Father are symbolized by Isaac's son Jacob, who valued the inheritance God offered. Esau, by his life and conduct, rejected all that Isaac offered him. Jacob, by his conduct, accepted the promise of an inheritance, living a righteous life. It is not for nothing that in the Jewish and Christian tradition, we refer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Today, in the 21st century, we have the same choice. We can be like Jacob and accept the condition of the inheritance modified by Christ's ransoming death upon the cross and the belief that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father, created before all worlds. We must live our lives according to God's commandments and Jesus' new commandment to love one another and always honor our Creator. Traditional Christians also believe that this kind of life is best lived within a community of like-minded Christians. Make no mistake, the alternative is stark. Be like Esau, disinherited and dishonored. Or, as Episcopal Church Bishop George Hodges of Boston said in 1904 concerning the events of Good Friday, "We can come to the feast poor and go away rich, or come poor and depart poor. The choice is ours." My closing prayers are an Eastern Orthodox prayer from the 4th century liturgy of Basil the Great of Caesarea, and the second, the first of two collects for Easter Sunday in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Archbishop Cranmer derived this prayer from both the Gelasian and Gregorian sacramentaries and also the Sarum liturgy of the Church in England. Please keep in mind that when the first Book of Common Prayer was published in 1549 AD, the word prevent had the opposite of its modern meaning. O Christ, our Master and God, King of the ages, Maker of all things, we thank Thee for all the good gifts that Thou hast given us, especially for Thy ransoming death for our sins and for participation in Thy pure and life-giving mystery of the Eucharist. We pray Thee, therefore, gracious Lord, that lovest all men, preserve us under Thy protection and beneath the shadow of Thy wings, and grant us even to our last breath to partake worthily and with a pure conscience of Thy holy things this day and in the days and years to come, and unto remission of sins and unto life eternal. For Thou art the bread of life, the well of holiness, the giver of all good gifts, and to Thee we ascribe glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Almighty God, who through Thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, hast overcome death, and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly beseech Thee that as by Thy grace preventing us, Thou dost put us in our minds good desires, so by Thy continual help we may bring the same to good effect through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.